Let me hear no phone. All right. And clerk orders ready?
Yes.
All right, so we are on section three. Number one. This is time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Ken Noel EDF in case number 2199. This matter will be heard by the board of representatives, the authority in heirs, 32-20-34. Dr. Noel, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney and represented by counsel. Please state your names for the record.
Ken Knowles.
Thank you.
And David Stahl, parents, legal counsel for Dr. Knowles.
Thank you. Dr. Knowles, you received a letter informing you of matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take in this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censoring you, and placing your license on probation. The terms may include continuing education and practice restrictions. Board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal hearing, this informal interview, is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
The only additional material we have is an updated, corrected version of a letter that you already received from Dr. Solomon. It's just a minor correction and their modification.
Thank you.
I have to scan this or drop it in, Jane.
Okay, while well, Angle's out, this proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. Dr. James Miss Solomon, we're trying to get that scanned and over to you.
Thank you very much.
You can see the update. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then we'll give them an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask your questions. At present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them to remain. Dr. James, will you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, so this is case 2199. On January 15, 2021, Scooby, a 10-year-old male, Penn was presented to the respondent on referral from the primary care veterinarian for a neurologic consult. Diagnostics were performed and revealed the dog's multiple chronic cervical disc herniations. The respondent recommended medical management, and if the dog did not improve, surgical intervention could be considered. The dog was discharged with gabapentin, prednisone, and amlodipine. The dog did well initially. On February 1st, respondent recommended extending the prednisone therapy another 2 weeks due to complainant's concerns of pain and that the dog was not acting himself. On February 8th, the complainant reported the dog was anorexic and vomiting. It was recommended to discontinue the prednisone and have the dog seen by a veterinarian. The dog was presented to an emergency facility where he was in diabetic ketoacidosis. The dog was hospitalized for treatment. On February 14th, the dog was transferred to an internal medicine specialist for a possible PEG tube placement. Based on evaluation of the dog and the guardian prognosis, the dog was ultimately humanely euthanized.
The dog was what?
Humanely euthanized.
Dr. Knowles, this time I'd like to swear you in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Knowles would now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I'd like to respond on behalf of Dr. Knowles. Thank you. As you review this case, we ask that you focus on the particular sequence of events, the actual voicemail messages and communications between the owners and Dr. Knowles. If you do, we are confident that you will conclude that nothing related to the communications in this case rises to the level of a violation, let alone the violation suggested by the investigative committee, which was gross negligence. Gross negligence is defined as treatment of a patient that results in injury, unnecessary suffering, or death that was caused by negligence or the disregard of established principles or practices. Dr. Knowles did not violate any established principle of veterinary medicine in this case. Please keep in mind that Dr. Knowles is a board-certified neurologist, and as you will hear from Dr. Scott Plummer and others, she handled this case completely appropriately. Medically, she did what a reasonable and prudent veterinarian in her field would have done. The investigative committee mistakenly believed that there was a failure on Dr. Knowles' part to communicate with the owners, in particular a failure to address their concerns. That is not gross negligence. If evidence were present that there was a communications concern or violation, that might be grounds for a communication issue or a violation, or potentially cause for you to issue a letter of concern, but it's not medical gross negligence. We hope that you have followed the communications between the parties, and you'll see that there's no truth whatsoever to the owner's claim that they repeatedly asked for a recheck of their dog. That's simply not true. The only time the owners called with an urgent concern about their dog, and this is extremely important, was on Monday, February the 8th. They called at 9:15 a.m. and left a voicemail message. The message stated that Scooby had been throwing up randomly all week and constantly all day on Sunday the 7th. The Veterinary Neurological Center is not a 24-hour facility. The owners knew that because they were given discharge instructions, which are in the materials that you have. And the instructions included a client guide that advised them that if they had an after-hours emergency, which they apparently did, they should do one of two things. They should either A, contact their primary veterinarian immediately, or B, call an emergency animal hospital. The discharge instructions that the owners were given by Dr. Knowles included the name and phone number of the Blue Pearl Specialty Emergency Hospital, and a link to other emergency facilities that might be more convenient for them. If this was a real emergency on Sunday when Scooby was continuously vomiting, the owner should have gone to the ER. Instead, they waited until Monday at 9:15 and called the Veterinary Neurological Center. This was the first and only urgent call the center received that would have necessitated an emergency visit or recheck. This is what happened when that message was received. It was not ignored. It was relayed to Dr. Knowles, and staff returned the owner's call 45 minutes later at 9:56 a.m. By then, Dr. Knowles had reviewed the message and recommended that the owners take Scooby to their regular veterinarian because he may need a syringa injection or IV fluids. As admitted by the owners in their complaint, they apparently left immediately after they left the message at 9:15 and didn't wait for a callback, because they state that they were already at the emergency hospital when the message was received. Again, the call was returned within the hour. There was no breakdown in communication. There was no failure on Dr. Knowles' part to honor a request for a recheck, and there is simply no basis for any communications or other violations in this case. It is unfortunate that Scooby had to be euthanized on February 14th due to a prolonged battle with diabetes and other serious medical conditions, but that unfortunate outcome is in no way due to any substandard care provided by Dr. Knowles. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just procedurally, Dr. Knowles is available for any questions, and then we have Dr. Scott Plummer, who would like to address you as well.
Okay. I want to tell Dr. James and Ms. Solomon on the phone that blood is uploaded on the cloud. So it's on that go up to that folder. It's on the lower row of the documents.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
All right, now I'd like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Knowles.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, as Mr. Stoll mentioned, diabetes was fundamentally part of the dog's history. And as a diabetic myself, I know the effect of prednisone. I had to leave a meeting a couple of months ago early due to the reaction. What is the standard veterinary practice, standard of practice for monitoring diabetic animals who are given prednisone?
And you're asking that about your home?
What's the standard? What is her practice for monitoring diabetic animals to whom prednisone or other steroids are prescribed? As far as recheck, blood work, etc.
This patient wasn't previously diagnosed diabetic. We had completely normal lab work with the exception of a very mild elevation in one of the liver enzymes. So the dog was not a diabetic that was put on prednisone. It was a normal glycemic patient. But it was diagnosed at the emergency animal clinic, and that was on the 8th.
So the dog wasn't diagnosed. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you can put it up. I thought that would be another.
So the dog, if I understand correctly, is that although Mr. Stoll stated the dog was, there was indicated there was some history of diabetes, that wasn't diagnosed. So the dog was taken, was in keto acidosis and taken in the veterinary hospital, in the emergency clinic.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
So just a reminder, Dr. James and Ms. Solomon, we have a court reporter here, so please state your name.
Thank you for the reminder.
Any other board members have questions?
Yes, I just had a couple. So about the day of the exam, which was January 15th? I think it was 15th, correct?
Correct.
15th, okay. What was discussed at that time? I saw an estimate on there with an MRI and all that. What were the findings of the x-rays and everything? What were the options for treatment that was discussed?
Well, Stubby had multi-level cervical disc herniations, and they were chronic. Mm-hmm. And there were a few of them, one in particular that I felt might be responsible for the current clinical signs, but because a surgical intervention might not be successful, my recommendation was to try medical management first. And if that failed, that he would be reevaluated, but there was absolutely no guarantee that surgery would work due to the number of discs he had.
Okay. So at that point, surgery wasn't a treatment option in your mind? It was
not in my mind.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify. Sorry. Thank you. No, that's not my question.
This is Dr. James. I have a couple questions. I've read the information that was submitted as far as the timeline and the voicemail messages, but I just want to get a little clarification on the phone calls, so not the messages, but the phone calls from the technicians to the owners. It looks like there were two of them that where the technicians have had conversations with the owners about the condition of Scooby. And how would you say in your mind those were relayed to you? Did you feel like you had a good idea of what had occurred in those conversations?
Yeah, well, there were several voicemail communications that were left by the owner. And on the 26th of January, the 29th, and the 1st, there was no new concern. They certainly reported episodic imbalance, like he was worse in the mornings. And they also indicated in one of their messages that he was more painful when the prednisone dose was lower. In my opinion, those responses weren't unusual given the fact that I was treating him for chronic neck pain due to a multi-level disc herniation. There was never an issue raised for pancreatitis or any of the adverse effects of prednisone until the 8th of February.
So I do understand that they left the messages and have read the transcripts of the messages. I guess my understanding is the technician that talked to you about it and relayed your recommendations back to the owner. How well do you feel that you got, you know, an idea of what they said on those conversations? We don't necessarily have the transcripts of what occurred in conversations, so I'm trying to understand how well those conversations were relayed back to you.
I mean, I trust my staff to take accurate messages. I get a concern from an owner. It's documented in the record that I responded. Assume that that would be relayed to them accurately. I didn't have any reason to doubt that she would relay my concerns to the owner.
Okay. And based on the fact that the owners had called and they had reported that Scooby was more painful and you felt like it was due to the prednisone and that they were having some episodic issues, but you felt like that was, you know, expected. Did at any point in time somebody scheduled a 10-day follow-up that was recommended if Scooby wasn't doing better? Because on the initial exam on the 15th, it was a follow-up in 10 days, if not, the way I understood it, not approved. And what I was hearing from the owner is that there might have been some initial improvement, but we're not where we should be. We're still having some weakness and we're still having some problems, but that 10-day recheck wasn't done.
On my initial discharge summary, I didn't say we would recheck Scooby at the 10-day interval. I requested an update, and I would normally treat a patient like this a lot longer than 10 days prior to initiating a recheck. I mean, you'd had clinical signs for a year. I don't think 10 days is going to resolve the issue. And it isn't unusual to have sort of a waxing and waning good day, bad day scenario in the initial phase. So I don't know where they got the opinion that a recheck would be scheduled at the 10-day mark. What I requested was an update.
Okay. I don't have any additional questions, thank you.
Any other board members have any questions? All right, step back. Next up, we'll hear Dr. Plummer. Could you please state your name for the record and your relation to the audit?
Yes, sir. My name is Scott Plummer, and I was formerly a veterinary urologist at the Veterinary Urological Center.
I need to swear you in, yeah? You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth of all you got?
Yes, sir.
I can give you an opportunity to respond to the summary, present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you in this matter. I am currently retired. However, I have been board certified in the field of veterinary neurology for over 27 years. And during my career, I also had the honor of serving on this veterinary medical examining board for 6 years, 2 years as the board chairman. Up until my retirement, I worked with Dr. Knowles at the Veterinary Neurological Center and hold her in the highest regard among the colleagues I've had the pleasure to have worked with. I've also been asked to review the medical records and other documents in this case and render an objective opinion regarding any potential of violations of the Veterinary Practice Act. After having done so, I can safely say that I could find no violations, and in my professional opinion, all of the veterinary care provided by Dr. Knowles was in compliance with the applicable standard of care. With all due respect to the investigative committee, I am frankly surprised that this complaint was not dismissed earlier with no violation found. A dismissal is warranted because Dr. Knowles handled Scooby's case in the same manner any veterinarian would have handled it, myself included. Scooby, a 10-year-old miniature pincher, presented to Dr. Knowles as a referral from his primary veterinarian. Diagnostics confirmed chronic multiple cervical disc herniations. Dr. Knowles appropriately recommended medical management first and possible surgical intervention down the road if he did not improve. I would have taken the same approach. Scooby was discharged after Dr. Knowles completed the workup with gabapentin, prednisone, and famotidine and responded positively to the medication. In reviewing the IC report, the investigative committee did not have any concerns about the medical management of the case, but proposed a potential violation of gross negligence under ARS section 32-2232-11 for allegedly not communicating with the pet owners to discuss their concerns. I failed to see how Dr. Knowles violated that statute, which I don't recall ever being applied in the context of client communications. I reviewed the communications record, and on each and every occasion when Dr. Knowles was informed that the owner had a concern, it was appropriately addressed. The very first time the owner called with a concern was on January 29th, 2021, and the concern was a minor one. The voicemail message said they were running low on meds and they believed they would need a refill. That voicemail message was returned and refill medications were then approved. There is no documentation in the record that the owner requested a callback from Dr. Knowles or requested a recheck examination. And this is definitely something the staff is taught to document. The next time the owner called with a significant concern was on Monday, February 8, 2021 at 9:15 a.m. According to the communication record, the owner left a message stating that, asking if Scooby could be seen because over the weekend he had been deteriorating. The owner was called back at 9:56 a.m., approximately 45 minutes after the message had been relayed to Dr. Knowles. A voicemail message was left with the owners instructing them to go to their referring doctor and get an injection of Serenia and possibly subcutaneous fluids. According to the investigative committee report and the owner's complaint, the owners had already left and taken Scooby to the Phoenix Veterinary Emergency Hospital. Between the time they called at 9:15 and the time they called, the call was returned. So again, the owner's concern was not ignored. It was promptly responded to. Also, it should be pointed out that on February 8th, the owners finally did what they had been instructed to do in the discharge instructions in the event they had an emergent concern. They went to the emergency hospital. That was the entire extent of Dr. Knowles' involvement in this case. I also want you to know that I was employed at VNC in February. In fact, I was working all day Saturday, February 6th, when they say, Scooby's condition was deteriorating. We were open and available from 9 to 5. They never called. In fact, they did not call any time during the week up to that point. I was also the veterinarian on call Sunday from February 7th from 9 to 5, and they never left a message to indicate they had an emergency. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
But then, board members, do you have any questions for Doug Wallman?
Thank you.
See you done, we step back, thank you. We'll now hear from the complainant. Could you please come forward and introduce yourself? Each of them, please say their own name.
Hi, this is Dr. Gil Holland.
Hi, Shay Holland.
Thank you. I'd like to swear you in now. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Thank you. And you are, in fact, the complainant in this case. Correct. We've read the materials as provided, and it will be addressed to the board.
Thank you. This is a case in which there was essentially an abandonment of care. Dr. Knowles prescribed medication that she knew was causing this animal trouble and failed to do anything about it, failed to follow up, failed to make a phone call to my clients to discuss the matter directly with them. Instead, she simply told the clients through her staff to continue the meds without seeing the animal for any follow up. There has been a claim in this case that Dr. Knowles' first knowledge of any issue with the medication occurred on February 8th. That is directly contradicted by the medical records in this case. Dr. Knowles, prior to February 8th, Dr. Knowles had ample knowledge that this medication she had prescribed was causing this animal trouble. He was in pain, he was off balance, and he was not himself. She was told all of these things repeatedly by the owners, and those are directly in her records. January 29th is when it starts. It continues on February 1st, and it's confirmed in a February 2nd voicemail from Dr. Knoll's staff to my clients, acknowledging the complaints that they had made about the animal's condition. Despite being told of those complaints, that he's in pain, he's off balance, he's not himself. Instead of picking up the phone and calling my clients to speak to them directly, instead of scheduling a follow-up visit as she should have done, as her own office procedures state is required, she simply instructed them to continue the medication, same dosage, for the next 2 weeks, which, as we know, led to his demise. There was some discussion earlier as to the animal's condition prior to seeing Dr. Knowles. That animal was in perfect health. It did not have any history of diabetes. I want to make the record clear on that. The records even acknowledge, Dr. Knowles acknowledged that this animal was in perfect health. Her words, not ours, perfect health, aside from the herniated disc, of course. So, the board is well versed in the facts of this case. I'm not going to belabor them, but malpractice, I don't know. Gross incompetence, perhaps. Gross negligence, absolutely. The negligence here was in failing to follow up with my clients about the condition of her dog after prescribing a treatment plan, after prescribing medication that she knew and was told was causing trouble. And then not only failing to follow up, but instructing them to continue that same medication. That's the negligence. I don't think it's debatable. You just heard some testimony from Dr. Knoll's former partner, that the complaint on January 29th was minor. Minor. And all that was requested on that date was a refill of the prescription. I would ask you to review those records on that date, and I think you'll agree that that mischaracterizes the records. On that date, my clients told Dr. Noel's office that the animal was off and unbalanced. And then 2 days later, Dr. Knowles was told the animal was in pain and not happy. So, with that, I'm going to open it up to the board. If you have any questions of my clients, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any board members have questions for the complainants?
Mr. Chairman, Dr. James.
Go ahead, Dr. James.
This is Dr. James. When calling in about the condition of either the time that he was unbalanced or pain, did you request a follow-up appointment?
We requested a follow-up appointment every time we spoke with them. And the communication my wife got was that they're going to let Dr. Knowles know, and they would pass on that message, and then they would let us know back when they spoke back with us. And the only time they put that in the medical record was on February 8th. But each time we spoke with them, we wanted them to see him. We were asking for an appointment. In fact, on one of the previous attorneys mentioned that all we did was call for a refill. Well, in their discharge summary, it says, and I'll read it here directly, it says, in the prescription refills, please note that needing a refill is often an indication for a recheck appointment. A recheck appointment, that was our goal. If they weren't going to just acknowledge our request for an appointment, for a follow-up, then maybe we were going to be able to get one by asking for a refill.
So, when you ask for an appointment, you just call to schedule an appointment. What did they say?
They said that they would have to check with Dr. Knowles, and they would let us know. It might not have to.
Sorry, can I also just weigh in here? I was the one that was making the phone calls, and as it was very difficult to speak to anybody at that office. There was a number of voicemails that I left before I got a call back. I had to be very forthright in my voicemail, demanding a call back after calling a number of times before I finally heard back. And every time, the return call was a day later after I left the message. The only time that they responded within 45 minutes, like everybody keeps mentioning that they were so quick to call back in 45 minutes, was on February 8th when Scooby was already in an ER. We didn't really need their help any longer because we gave up waiting for them. But every single time that I called, the person on the other line was just probably some minimum wage young person who doesn't know anything, because she would literally, or he would, like, hear me say, I'll check with Dr. Knowles. But what do you think about this? I'll check with Dr. Knowles. And anything I would say, I wasn't talking to a human being who could even understand the concept of what was going on with my dog. So I kept expecting that the next call back would actually be from Dr. Knowles herself if she wasn't gonna see me. I understand she's too busy to see me because I wasn't gonna pay another $3,000 just to be seen, you know, for a follow-up. But every time I got a call back from the same doofus on the other line who just doesn't even barely know, you know, what a dog is from a cat, let alone anything about these medical concerns that we had. And me asking for an appointment, it was just me as an ignorant, you know, patient, like, do you think maybe she should see him? I'll check with Dr. Knowles. No, Dr. Knowles says just keep on the meds, okay? Do you think maybe there's something wrong with the dosage because he's just not 100% right? And that's recorded, actually, in their notes. Oh, no, Dr. Knowles said keep at it. It's totally fine. Keep on the same dosage. Everything's fine. Okay, and I call again, and every time it's the same thing. I'm talking to an idiot who just doesn't understand the medical jargon even. I mean, I barely understand it, let alone her. And she's expected to pass on my concerns in a way that Dr. Knowles would understand, you know, how concerned I was. She probably maybe downplayed it, who knows?
I don't know exactly what went on their conversations, but I never got a call back from Dr. Knoll's result. I never got a chance to speak to the doctor who had prescribed the medication so I could share my concerns with her directly.
Thank you. I don't have any additional questions. Mr. Chairman, this is Jane Solomon. I have a follow-up question.
Go ahead.
To the complainant, was there ever a time when Dr. Knoll recommended a recheck that you declined?
No.
Thank you.
I just had a question. Sorry for your loss. I understand how hard it is. I lost time to do that too. I think it's easier to handle. It is a difficult situation in terms of our agreement with that. When Scooby wasn't feeling all that well, did you call your primary veterinarian to get an exam?
So, since I had a hard time getting through to their office every time I called, on Saturday when he began vomiting, we were concerned. It was already quite late in the afternoon, and I had checked their office hours and realized they were already closed at that point once we thought it was concerning. And so we decided to, Banfield was also not, there was only an emergency line at that point. So we decided to keep an eye on him overnight. And on Sunday morning, I called Banfield because their office is closed.
Sorry, which day was that? Sunday morning, what day?
The 7th of February.
Saturday, okay.
Because Dr. Knoll's office was closed on Sundays. So, and I also knew, leaving a message, even if I said it was emergency, I'd be lucky if I hear back in a week. So I called Banfield and I said, I'm really worried. I don't know what to do. And he's being treated by Dr. Knoll's right now. And they said, well, really, Dr. Knoll's is the one that needs to see him. But you can come by, we just don't have any openings today. Called, they gave me three other Banfield numbers. They all have our records. You could try them. Called them all. They all had no openings. The last one I spoke to said, listen, if you're really worried about his vomiting, you can just bring him directly to the ER if you can't get a hold of Knoll's. And so that's what we decided to do. She gave me two different numbers of ERs. I called them. They said, if he keeps up vomiting, you bring him in. He actually stopped vomiting on Sunday, so we thought he was okay. By Monday morning, he was like not acting okay at all, so we just brought him right in. And we called Knoll's office anyways because we knew they'd be open again. And that was the first time we got a call back in a timely manner. And by the time they could call us back, he was already at the ER. My husband has a narrative, if he could maybe share it with just a little bit of more insight, if that would be okay.
Sure.
And I put this together just to be able to show them where there were missed opportunities to see Sam, to see Scooby in the office, and I'm showing the information, the medical records, and the voicemails, and a lot. So.
And copies of this narrative have been provided to the board prior to. Yeah.
And if you need to listen to the voicemails, we have them as well from Dr. Knoll's office. So. On January 15, 2021, I drove to VNC to pick up Scooby after his consult with Dr. Knoll's. Spoke directly with Dr. Knoll's via Wi-Fi tablet as I was in my automobile due to COVID restrictions and precautions. We went over his diagnosis and discharge instructions. It was decided to pursue medical management, prednisone, gabapentin, and Pepcid. Dr. Knoll's explicit instructions were on discharge were that his condition worsened or did not fully improve by day 10. We were to schedule a follow-up visit for reevaluation potential surgical intervention. I asked Dr. Knoll's what surgical steps he might undergo, as in human medicine, I've mainly been exposed to laminectomies, infusions, and similar cases. She answered, and I paraphrased, that this is different in dogs, and the surgeon basically hooks it in the disc and pulls it back into place. She further commented that we would be having further discussion down the road only if medical management did not work. She also mentioned that she had almost 100% confidence that medical management would be curative, as other than disc protrusion, he's in perfect health. Scooby's progress was as follows. Day 1-7, he was doing great. He was eating normally, get high energy. He was able to go on multiple walks outside during the day and evening and get out of this crate. Unfortunately, we had to keep him crated because that was part of the treatment. Day 8-9, he started to show less energy. We were wondering about depression as he had been confined to a 4x4 area as per discharge instructions. On day 10-14, that's January 25th to 29, Scooby's behavior had changed. He was acting off, depressed, and decreased appetite. He now no longer wanted to come out of his cage, and when we would take him out, he would lie down in the next room. We called DNC repeatedly, having left a message with the office on January 26th and again on January 29th. My wife mentioned how Scooby's behavior was off, he was in pain, and asked to bring him in. The text stated that she would get back to us after discussing with Dr. Knowles, which was the common theme every time we tried to call him. First missed opportunity to bring him back. As we were instructed on discharge on January 25th, if Scooby had not recovered, we were to bring him back in for follow-up. He was not better, and we called to let Dr. Knowles know, for asking for a follow-up appointment. I want to know why we weren't granted that appointment. Second missed opportunity. The tech did not relay our message correctly to Dr. Knowles. However, the medical record entry reads, owner noticed patient had to sort of off and unbalance in the mornings. So I'm sure it's due to the medications for what? And I'm referring to DNC record entry dated 1/29/2021. As a physician myself, I would want to know what a sort of off means. Additionally, Dr. Knowles has claimed that she did not know of Scooby's health deterioration until February 8th. Either Dr. Knowles did not read her own intra-office note titled communication patient follow-up on that same date, just above the question posed to her, or just ignored our concerns. This can only be interpreted one of two ways. Additionally, Dr. Knowles claims that she did not know Scooby's health deterioration until February 8th. Evidence that Dr. Knowles did know of his deterioration, though, and refused to give us an appointment or direct phone call is noted as voicemail on February 2nd, 2021, and if you like, we can play it, or I can just read you what was said. How about the board and like to proceed?
Say
the
date again.
February 2nd.
I don't know if they can hear it or not.
If you want to try, you can.
Yeah, I guess. Well, we're getting ready. Any other board members have questions?
Himself, definitely give him that. So she was aware of Scooby's condition at that point, that he wasn't doing well. So claims that she didn't know, that we hadn't called enough. But let's just hypothetically speaking, in an alternate universe, let's say we didn't ask for an appointment. As a doctor myself, if someone calls my office, says the patient is not doing well, either I pick up the phone or I instruct someone in my office, say get that patient in here right now or get them into the emergency room. It's just standard of care. Anything other is negligence. Third missed opportunity. It is regarding just that. The patient's calling in with continued as well as new complaints regarding recently consulted condition and treatment. I, as a physician myself, would investigate this further. Of note, on that January 29th record, Dr. Knowles wrote in response, I assume it's related to the cervical disc disease. In medicine, I don't think assumptions are appropriate. They're not in human medicine, and I believe that in veterinary medicine that applies. Why not see the patient and re-examine them? We just spent $3,000 on Scooby without batting an eye. We were willing to continue spending money on him. He was our family member and beloved to us. We wanted to do whatever he needed to make him well and to improve his quality of life. At that point, we had no concerns about demise or an end of life. He was otherwise, other than this subtest, he was in perfect health. Forced missed opportunity. On January 15, 2021, Dr. Knowles mentioned that surgical management should not work out. We should be bringing him for a new consult discussing our surgical intervention. When Dr. Knowles refused to provide us with follow-up appointments, our concerns were met merely with reassurance and additional prescriptions. We as pet parents of Scooby were following medical advice, and when we were told that we did not need a follow-up appointment despite asking for one, we followed the direction of the specialist, our pet neurologist. Dr. Knowles simply decided to continue the same dosage of prednisone and called in for refill. Stay on 2.5 milligrams twice daily for 2 more weeks, which at that point we were worried about the continued dose. We didn't know if the lower dosage was causing the problem or being on the prednisone was causing his problem. And we were relying on her expertise. Fifth missed opportunity. The clinic called my wife on February 1st. Again, she was worried about Dr. Knowles refilling the prednisone, especially as Scooby started to look worse at this point in his taper. This very same dosage of 2.5 milligrams, yet Dr. Knowles wanted us to continue this dosage despite Scooby not doing well. My wife questioned this decision, and again, we were denied requests for an in-person evaluation. In the VNC record, it says, called owner to go over doctor response, a new prednisone taper. Owner says she noticed that they have gone down 2.5 twice daily. He seems to be in pain and not happy. As we were discussing our concerns with his pain symptoms and deterioration, why didn't Dr. Knowles allow us to bring him in so she could put eyes on it, or at the very least, pick up the phone and call us, get a history. Sixth missed opportunity. Let's look at the client guide. The VNC discharge instructions, page 4. Under a paragraph that reads prescription refills, it states, please note that needing a refill is often an indication for recheck appointment. Therefore, you may be asked to make an appointment prior to additional refills being authorized. I want to know what happened here. Why was the service delivery failure? Why were they not following their own protocol that they give patients? Scooby had 3 episodes of emesis in the afternoon of Saturday, February 6th. We stopped the prednisone that day. Sunday, February 7th, in the morning, he seemed to have been doing better. He wanted to play with our 3-year-old and our 1-year-old, and our 1-year-old. But we noticed he had lost a lot of weight. And my wife mentioned that's what we called Banfield. In the afternoon, he began laying around again and not wanting to come out of his crate for walks or use the bathroom outside. Later, he had 2 more episodes of emesis. We called Banfield, and they did not have appointments to get him in. They recommended to get him in with the neurologist first thing in the morning. I want to also point to the, and I didn't include this in this section, but in the VNC medical record on January 29th, they state, the person who called said, owner said she left voicemail early in the week, but I see no record of this. Then on their transcripts of our voicemail messages, there's one there from January 26, 21. Hi there, there's Chevy calling regarding Scooby. Dr. Knowles just saw him, and we were supposed to call you guys in with an update in 10 days and how he's doing. I'm calling about that. If you can call me back in our phone number. We called on the 26th because we were supposed to get a call back from them on the 25th. The 25th was 10 days. When we didn't hear back, we picked up the phone and called them. They didn't get back to us till the 29th. Actually, we kept calling. So Chevy, we stopped leaving voice messages. We just called. Chevy talked to somebody on the 29th, and they're claiming
that we did not let us know that voicemail on the 29th.
And then they called back, and then so a lot of failures there. A 7th missed opportunity to bring him back. With regard to my wife's phone call on February 8th, we were labeled frantic. To me, it just seems that they were being dismissive and maybe they were annoyed by us. Again, my wife asked that they provide us with an appointment for Scooby ASAP. This was not the first time. This was at least 4 other times that it happened. The tech mentioned she would not schedule us and we would have to check with Dr. Knowles first, which was their pattern. That did not sit well with me, so I started calling the local veterinary yards for an immediate evaluation. We were not going to wait another 4 days to hear back from them. They called back within 45 minutes. That was a first, but they didn't allow us to bring them back to BNC, and despite Dr. Knowles, despite our emergent plea. The voicemail message, I know that the records they state that they could see him, but they recommend that we go to a regular vet. The voicemail message, I'll read it if it's not, since it's not audible, reads, "Hi, I'm calling from Veterinary Neurological Center. We were speaking earlier about Scooby. I wanted to let you know that Dr. Knowles to get your update. She said to go ahead and discontinue the prednisone altogether. Don't give it him anymore. She does recommend going to your regular vet. She said that he may need an injection of Cerania that is like something that they'll give him to help with the vomit. She also said since he hasn't eaten, he may need to start off fluids, which is something that your regular vet would be able to do that we wouldn't be able to do. So she definitely recommends starting there. If you guys have any questions, yada, yada. Once again, we were denied an appointment with Scooby. The message was clear to us. Dr. Knowles did not want to deal with us after January 15th and kept denying us a follow-up appointment, showing complete disregard for our concerns. Of note, with regard to February 8th, 2021, the medical entry, those notes are incorrect. Scooby was not vomiting all week. However, despite this misinformation, wouldn't you, as a medical provider, want to see the patient or at very least call them? If you were human, if you were my patient, I received that message in the medical record that you've been throwing up all week. If we couldn't get you in the clinic right away, I would at very least pick up the phone and call you to make sure you were stable and you get the right care right away. And if needed, I'd be calling 911 for you. Obviously, it's different than pets. At the board hearing on September 15th, Dr. Knoll says she did not have time to call back everyone as she's too busy in her practice. With regard to what transpired with Scooby, and especially with our call on February 8th, I have deep concerns. My question is, if this type of scenario is not one where you interrupt your busy day in practice, and you either bring the patient back in for a follow-up, or at very least, pick up the phone to obtain more history and do a proper triage, then what is? I personally would like to know from Dr. Knowles, when does a patient's urgent concerns meet her threshold for a follow-up appointment or even a phone call? At the investigative committee, Dr. Chrisberg noted, and I paraphrase, what is happening to our practice if we do not pick up the phone and talk with a concerned owner? He was a strong proponent to make the recommendation for the board to assess this gross negligence, which is defined as by ARS 32-2232-11 as malpractice, gross incompetence, or gross negligence in the practice of veterinary medicine. As for the investigative committee recommendation, as failure to communicate with pet owners to discuss their concerns regarding the condition of the dog after respondent's recommended treatment. I believe the communication is part of the treatment. If you take communication out of it, you have no history, you have no follow-up, and there was a lack thereof. I would like to see the board sanction Dr. Knowles at very least be required to comply with developing a quality improvement program with regard to patient-owner communication and a CME that's focused on patient care, triage of urgent and emergent medical matters, and appropriate follow-up. This should have never happened to Scooby. This should have never happened to my family. And I'm here asking the board to never allow this to happen to anyone else again.
So I have a question on the voicemails, because you referenced them, so I'm assuming you have seen those in the record.
Yes.
Dated 115, 126, 129, and 211.
Yes.
Are you disputing the language? This is not verbatim what was said?
No.